Okay, good morning everyone, and once again I'd like to thank everyone for coming to participate in some early morning Limud HaTorah, the Rabbim, which is a very big schus for all of us and for our entire community. The topic today and the connection to the Parsha may have raised a few eyebrows because of the fact that the prohibition of Pas Akum is clearly a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. This is something which is a rabbinic decree. It was something which really has no pasuk in the Torah that directly addresses it. Nevertheless, there is a pasuk in the Parsha this week that is sort of introduces us to the concept which underlies the Isser of Pas Akum, and that is, we have here on the sheet towards the end of the Parsha, you know, Parshas Ki Sisa, after you get finished with the story of the Ego, everyone's ready to go home. But there are some very important things that we find in the Parsha after that, and one of them are the following psukim. The Torah says, Pentichros Bris L'Yoshev Ha'aretz, Moshe Rabbeinu warned the Klal Yisrael that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you should not make any sort of peace treaties with the people that live there. Why? Because Vizanu Acharei Eloheim, because you will stray after their gods, you will get involved in their Avodah Zarah. Vizachu Eloheim, you will bring karbanos to their gods. Vikarolacha, and he will call to you, Vachalta Mizivcho, and he will call to you, and you will eat from his meat, from his sacrifice. Then the pasuk continues and says, "V'lakachta mibnosecha levanecha." That then what will happen is that you will take from mibnosecha levanecha, you will take from his daughters for your sons. V'zanu binosa v'acharei Eloheihen, and the daughters of the goy will stray after their gods. V'hiznu esponecha v'acharei Eloheihen, and they will cause your sons to stray after their gods. Now, the way the Chazal understood this is that essentially the second half, the last phrase in Pasuk Tezvav, the Korah Lecha V'achalta Mizivcho, that he will call to you and give you from his meat, really refers to something other than Avodah Zarah. And according to the Chazal, that pasuk is a reference to the fact that even were a guy to come and to serve you kosher meat, there's obviously, if a guy is going to serve you not kosher meat, you can't eat it, there's nothing to talk about. But the pasuk here is referencing the fact that you'll go into Eretz Yisrael. Now we have to remember that Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, as it was at the time, was a place that was described by the Torah as steeped in Avodah Zarah, steeped in the worship of idols, and therefore, and other things. And therefore there was a fear that to get together in any sort of social gathering with the non-Jews who live there, that they will call you and you will eat together with them. And what's going to come from that? Not that they're going to serve you on kosher food. That's not the concern of the pasuk. The concern of the pasuk is v'lakachtum ibnosav levanecha. The concern of the pasuk is that this will lead to intermarriage. This will lead to the fact that your sons will marry their daughters. And what's going to happen then? That's bad enough. We would think, all right, that should be the end of the story right there. But then the pasuk continues and says that it doesn't end there. V'zanu b'nosav acharei Eloheihen, that their daughters will stray after their gods, and they will take your sons with them. V'hiznu esbonav acharei Eloheihen, they will take your sons together to worship the Avodah Zarah. And on this basis, we find in the Chazal, it's brought here in the pasuk, Amru, that based on this, the Chazal say, Nezar pita mishum yenam, that the bread of a guy. Now, the pasuk here doesn't say anything about bread. If anything, it's a reference just to meat or just eating together with a guy. But the Chazal said that Nezar pita mishum yenam, that when subsequently, when the rabbis prohibited the bread of a guy, which is what we're going to talk about today, that the reason for that was because they were afraid that if you eat the bread, you will come to drink their wine, v'yeinam mishum bitam, and if you drink their wine, you will come to intermarry with them, u'bitam mishum avodasam, and if you do that, it will lead, as if not only will it lead to intermarriage, but it will ultimately could lead to avodah zarah. This is what it says, so this is the reference in this week's parasha. Okay. But again, the pasuk here is referring specifically to the goyim who lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time of the kibush haaretz. This is Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, stay away from this, don't get involved. L'maisa, we know that later on in the history of the Klal Yisrael, there were different periods, there were different gzeiros that were made by the rabbis in order to prohibit the socializing with goyim that would perhaps lead to intermarriage. And to this end, we find the Mishnah, a well-known, halakhically well-known Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, which you have here on the sheet. That's page 1, side 2. And the Mishnah states as follows: Ve'eru dvarim shalotei kochavim asurin ve'ein isurin nisur hanah. The following are things which come from goyim which are prohibited, but the prohibition only extends to eating or drinking and not to hanah. And they are as follows. Now, I'm just going to read the first couple of lines. Not all of these are for the same reason. Okay, the first prohibition is Cholov Shechov Ovi Kochovim Ve'en Yisroel Aleihu. The first prohibition is the prohibition of milk, which comes from a guy which was milked without a Jew standing and watching. Okay, this is the famous Cholov Yisroel issue, which is a different topic for a different time. But that is the first prohibition. In fact, the Gemara right away on this page says that the prohibition of Cholov Yisroel, the prohibition of Cholov Aklam, has nothing to do with what we were speaking, but rather there's the concern that they're going to get the milk from a non-kosher animal, which is why I say it's a different discussion. So we'll leave that for another time. Okay? The Mishnah continues. The next thing is Vahapas. Vahapas, and they prohibited the eating of non-Jewish bread. Okay, that did not say in the Torah. Right? This is something that the rabbis banned. The bread baked by a non-Jew. The Hashemen Shelahen, and originally they also banned the oil of a guy, right? Oil was a basic cooking item, it was a basic food that was used in it, people ate it, they dipped things into it, they cooked with it, so that was also banned. And then we find the Mishnah says, Rebbe Ubezdino Hitiru Hashemen, that when it came to the oil, so that original decree was subsequently revoked. Rebbe Ubezdino allowed it. Okay, but the Mishnah tells us pas. The Mishnah tells us bread. And we'll see it in the Gemara, but I'll just tell you in advance that by bread, clearly the reason why it was prohibited, the bread of a guy was prohibited, because of the fact that what the Gemara calls chasnus, because of the fact that bread is a basic food. Until very recent times, bread was the staple of every meal. When people ate bread, everything else that they ate with it was sort of secondary to the bread, which is why, when we say the bracha of Hamotzi, we don't say any other brachas, right? When you eat a meal with meat and fish and all kinds of things, you just say the bracha Hamotzi. That is because of the fact that the style of eating until very recent times was that you ate the bread, and whatever you ate went with it was tofel to the bread, was considered secondary. On a secondary item, you don't make a bracha, and therefore that's why we have the practice even today, even though the styles have changed greatly in our time. Nevertheless, our halacha remains that we only say the hamotzi. This is because of the fact that bread was central to every meal. Bread was central to every meal. Okay? So that being the case, the bread of a guy was something that there was a great deal of concern. If you're going to eat his bread, he'll invite you, you'll come eat his bread, you'll sit down, you'll eat with him, you'll get comfortable, you'll start schmoozing, right? This is my daughter, this is my son, and the next thing you know, you have a problem. This is the Mishnah and the Gzera of Pasach. Now, before we go any further, I want to clarify a couple of points. You may be wondering that why did they need to make such a gzera? After all, the pasakim, the bread that was baked by a guy, where exactly did he bake it? Right? Most likely he didn't bake it in a Jew's oven. He baked it in a guy's oven. So you will say that if he baked it in a guy's oven, you couldn't eat it anyway. You don't need the rabbinic gzera. Here you would have a biblical, you would have a din d'oraisa that if it was baked in the oven of a guy, so then obviously the oven of a guy is embedded with non-kosher cooking, and the tam, the taste of the different items would come out into the bread. So what do you need a gzera of pasakim for? So the answer to that is, which is given by a number of the Mefarshim, is one of two things, either in a case where he baked it in a new oven, or because of the, more realistically, because of the fact that we have a concept in Halacha that Stam Kei Remainim B'nei Yoman, that typically speaking, any Keli that's used for cooking is not presumed to have been used for something else on the same day. And therefore, there's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that if a vessel is not a ben yomo, if it was not cooked in within the last 24 hours, then whatever taste was absorbed in it is considered pogum, is considered already ruined taste, and such a thing would not make food treif b'dieved. So therefore, theoretically, if a guy cooked in an oven that he himself had not used in the last 24 hours, and he baked that bread, even though a Jew could not bake in that oven, nevertheless, the bread that he baked would not be forbidden in terms of the halachos of kashrus. Okay, so this is just as an aside, the background to the gzera of Pas Akum, you know, why was it necessary? How would you ever have a situation where you'd even think of eating it? This would be the explanation. That's background point number one. Point number two is that whatever we're going to say today about the decree of Pas Akum only applies to Goyim. It does not apply to Jews, even to irreligious Jews, even to Jews who the poskim say would be in the category of a mummer, a person who goes off the derech, right? The person became an apikoros, a person who strayed after other religions. The Chazal say, Yisroel afal pi shechata Yisroel hu, that a Jew remains a Jew, and you're allowed to marry the daughter of a Jew, no matter who he is. And even though in certain situations it may not always be advisable, but nevertheless, you could marry such a person's daughter. And therefore, since the whole prohibition was because of the fact that you may come to intermarriage, so if it's coming from a Jew, there's no concern of intermarriage. So whatever we're going to say applies only to Goyim. This is the gzera of Pas Akum. And a third point that I would like to mention as background is that there is a totally separate prohibition, which is also perhaps today equally famous, called Bishul Akum, which means food that was cooked by a guy, right, regardless of whether it's bread or not. And the laws of Bishul Akum are not in this discussion. They play to a different set of rules, and maybe that's for another time. But we're dealing here with the laws specifically of bread, and the poskim say not just bread, but also things like cake and bread products. Yes?
The lighting the oven by
yeah, we'll get to that. I'm going to get to that. Lighting the oven is a heter by both. Lighting the oven is by Pas, we'll see, by Pas Akum, they were even more lenient. Well, I'm going to get to that soon. Okay, so we'll see. So anyway, this is the background that we need to know. The Gzeira, the prohibition of Pas Akum, was made because of Chasnus, was made to prevent intermarriage, because of the fact that bread was basic, and it goes with this understanding, right? It's back to the bread of a guy. It applies to all bread products. And as I say, it applies even if the food is known to be kosher. Obviously, you know, today, you know, even let's say there was no din of Pas Akum, but the way a lot of things are made, you know, you wouldn't feel comfortable going into any Goyish bakery because, you know, Lord knows what else they make there, and they have all kinds of non-kosher products that are made, and therefore you would have all kinds of shilas of tarfas, so you would not need the Issa D'Rabbanan, right? But we're talking here about in the simple times when people perhaps had just a bread oven, or as I say, it was an oven that it could be presumed that it wasn't used on the same day, it wasn't a ben yomo, and for this we have the prohibition of Pas Akum. Okay. Now, if Pas Akum is usur, we have a lot of tzaras, right? In other words, this would be, you know, it would cause a great deal of problems. You would have to have a kosher bakery in every town, which is not the easiest thing from a financial standpoint, right? And with many, many Jewish communities, even where they have a sizable amount of people, have a very hard time maintaining a bakery because of the expenses that are involved. But if this gzera was left untouched, so then we would have no choice. Either you'd have to break the bread yourself and the cake, or you would have to have some sort of Jewish bakery, but there would be no way around it. Okay, that was the original gzera. Now we come to the Gemara. Now, I will tell you in advance that this Gemara is a very short piece, about 12 lines of Gemara. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's one of the most difficult pieces of Gemara I've seen to interpret. It's not hard to translate the words, but the understanding from line to line, each line seems to contradict the previous one. The Rishonim here go wild to try to explain what the Gemara is saying. There are many different opinions how to read the Gemara, so I'm going to try to keep it simple, mainly because I'm not sure I fully understand myself, but I'll try to keep it simple. Okay, we pick up the Gemara here on the fourth wide line. Towards the end of the line, it says Vahapas. Okay, this is the reference to the Mishnah. It says Vahapas. So the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says in the name of Rav Yochanan, Pas lo hutra bebezdin. He said that bread was lo hutra bebezdin. This decree of Pas was never repealed. It was not repealed. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan was one of the main authorities in the Gemara, and he said, "Pas lo hutra bebezdin." So the Gemara, now that bad news, right? In other words, whereas in the Mishnah we read that when it came to the oil of a non-Jew, they originally made the decree and then they nullified it, but Rabbi Yochanan reports to us that you have no such luck when it comes to bread. That's what he says. Now, I would have taken that as bad news, but I don't know, interestingly enough, the Gemara makes a remarkable inference from this, and the Gemara says, Michlal de Ikaman de Shari. The Gemara says, it would seem, based on Rabbi Yochanan, why did Rabbi Yochanan have to tell us this? Why did Rabbi Yochanan have to get up and announce that they never nullified the decree of bread? Why would you think that they did? So the Gemara says that apparently this indicates that it's not so simple, that there are people who allowed the bread of a non-Jew. There are people who allowed it. Okay, now, we're going to skip a few lines, and the Gemara brings the following story. Okay, we're going to go down, we're going to skip, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines later. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Itamer of Shmuel by Yehuda, Amar, Lo Kach HaYamaisa. The Gemara relates a story to back up the fact that bread apparently isn't so simple that the prohibition remained. So it says in the Gemara as follows, Elohomru, Pam Achas Horach Rebbe Lamako Mechad, that there was a time that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi traveled to a certain place. The Rav has dochuk with Talmidim. He came to this place and he saw he wanted to have his yeshiva, and he saw he can't have a yeshiva there. There's no food. There's nothing for the Talmidim to eat. They have to have food. They have to have bread. And he saw that in this place there was no bread. There was apparently no bread available. So says the Gemara. Now listen to this. Says the Gemara, "Oh my Rebbe." So Rebbe said, "Ein kan palter." So Rebbe said, is there no baker over here? What's going on? Why is there no bread? Right, so he walked in the first day after Shacharis, right, he had his yeshiva, he walked into Shacharis to breakfast, he sat down, there's nothing to eat. So Rebbe proclaimed, what kind of town is this? Ein kan palter? Is there no baker over here? So the Gemara says, Kisvorin ha'am lomar palter over kochavim. Says the Gemara that people thought that what he meant by that was that is there no palter over kochavim? Okay, now this is a very important point. Palter is the Aramaic word for a baker. Okay, palter over kochavim means that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was saying, why is there no bread? Don't they have it? Okay, maybe in this town, you know, we don't have a Jewish bakery, but isn't there a non-Jewish bakery? Why can't you get bread in this place? What's going on? Says the Gemara, "V'huwa amar palter Yisrael." So the Gemara initially says an opinion that people thought that he meant, "Is there no Goyisha baker?" In which case, he would be suggesting that you could eat the bread in such a case of great need from a non-Jewish baker, right? To which the Gemara says, "No, that he didn't mean that. He meant, is there no Jewish baker?" That's what the Gemara initially says. And just bear with me, I apologize, this is a difficult Gemara, but just one more line. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chelbo, so comes along Rabbi Chelbo, and he says, Afilu Ramanda Amar Palter Ovid Kochavim. even if you will say that he permitted the bread baked by a non-Jewish baker, lo amaron ela deleker palter Yisroel. This would only be in a situation where there was no Jewish baker. But in a case where there was a Jewish baker, it would not be permitted. Okay, this is the Gemara that's relevant to us. In other words, apparently it seems from this Gemara, and again, it's very complicated to try to make sense out of the entire Gemara step by step, but it seems that what happened here was that Rabbi Danasi showed up in this place, there was no bread, and he said, why don't we have bread? What's the problem? Let's go get some bread. Don't they have a baker in this town? And the way it was, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, the way it's brought with Halacha, the Reb Chelbo's interpretation, was that what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was actually saying was that if there's no Jewish baker, so we, you know, what's the problem? There's no Jewish bakery? Yeah, it's a big deal. So if there's no Jewish bakery, let's go get from the Goyim. This is the Gemara. Okay, now, this brings us to the possible heter that we would have, which is the Gemara suggesting here that in a place where there is no Jewish baker to be had, there's no kosher, no Jewish bread, so to speak, to be had, that one could buy from a non-Jewish baker. Okay, now, the question is, what does that mean? First of all, we mentioned that this was a gzeira that was made by the Chachamim. The Gemara says the Mishnah is based on, it says in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that this gzeira of Pas Akum comes from the Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai. This is one of the decrees of the students of Hillel and Shammai from the earlier generation, much earlier than Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Right? So, and we know, generally speaking, that if a decree is made by the Chazal, it's very difficult to repeal it. Because the halacha is that you can only repeal a gzeira that was made by the Chachamim if you have Chachamim of equal caliber. But since here they did not have Chacham, with all due respect, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and his people, right, they were not on the same level as Hillel and Shammai, even the students of Hillel and Shammai, and therefore the question is, how could they do such a thing? Number one. Number two is, what would be the basis for this? In other words, what's the idea here that you could do it when there's no Jewish bakery, then you could do it. When there is a Jewish bakery, you can't do it. Why would that be? So basically, there are two ways to understand the Gemara. There are two ways to understand this Gemara. One of them, which is the more conservative approach, would be that what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was saying over here was that when there is no Jewish baker, then you could eat the bread baked by a non-Jewish baker. But that baker, the word palter has the connotation a commercial baker. Now the idea here would be, because the whole reason for the prohibition of Pas Akum, we said, is because it'll lead people to socialization. People will socialize, you get together, you want to come over for supper, right? In other words, a guy, you know, could theoretically work out a way that if he really wanted to, he could invite his Jewish neighbor over for a meal, right? In other words, if he was tuned in to the dictates of Kashrus, right, he could order out, you know, whatever, he'll get something, he'll serve him stuff which isn't, he won't serve him meat, and he'll serve him bread, and he'll have him for a meal. So there are some poskim who say that what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was saying over here was, if the whole concern is that you will socialize with them and it will lead to intermarriage, so that would only be in a situation of a social setting. If it's a social setting, meaning that he's inviting you to his house for supper, so then you're going to have an issue. However, if you go into a commercial bakery, if you go into a bakery that's selling to the public, right, so the guy there is baking his bread for business. He's not baking his bread to socialize with anybody. He's happy that he sells his bread, people buy it, and they leave and they go home. He's not interested in socializing with you. He just wants to sell he wants to do his business. So there are those that say, Pshat in the Gemara, that what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was saying was that in a situation of need, then you could go ahead when he walked into the town and he walked into his yeshiva's dining room and said, how come we have no bread? Ain't kan pater? Isn't there a baker? What's going on? What's wrong with this town? Isn't there a baker? There's no bakery in this town? What he meant to say was that you could go in this situation, since it's as the Gemara itself referred to, it's Paz Dochuk with Talmidim, it's a Shas Adchak, people don't have bread to eat. If you don't have bread to eat, and bread is the basic staple of all meals, so then you have a major problem on your hands. So what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was saying, well, if that's the case, then go get from a non-Jewish commercial bakery. Why? Because of the fact that this is staying, in a sense, within the Gzeirah. Because I'm not repealing the original Gzeirah. I'm not saying that the original Gzeirah is off. I'm just sort of saying pshat in the Gzeirah. In other words, since the Gzeirah was made because of chasnus, since the prohibition was made because of intermarriage, so in my opinion, there's not going to be intermarriage from such a situation. You go into the bakery and you buy it, the guy's just happy to sell it to you and he really doesn't care about you personally, and therefore such a situation you don't have to worry about. This would be one way to read the Gemara. And if that's the case, then it would come out that the heter that would exist would be in a case, in a town where there is no Jewish bakery, you would be allowed to go into a non-Jewish bakery, again, assuming you knew that the ingredients were kosher. For that, there is no heter in the world. You have to know that the ingredients are kosher. But if you knew that, then if the fact that it was baked by a guy, he says, reviewed on this, see, that's not a problem, because that's past palter, this is the bread of a commercial baker, and such a thing is mutter. Yes, I'm sorry.
Wouldn't it have to be not only the ingredients of kosher, but everything in the bakery is kosher?
Yeah, right. So I'm saying, so in today's world, it's almost unimaginable that there would be such a thing, but there used to be, people used to have these small bread bakeries and things like that. So simply, today, they, I guess in order to make a profit, they bake all the Danishes and all the literally chazerai, so they put in the non-kosher ingredients, and therefore you have a problem. But if not for that, theoretically it would be mutter. Now that's one way to read the Gemara. Okay, the other way to interpret the Gemara, which may even be the simple way to read it, would be to say that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was not referring to a situation of a commercial baker, but rather what he was saying was that in a case of need, you can go to any guy and buy it. In other words, the definition of the word, the translation of the word palter is baker, right? So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi exclaimed, isn't there a baker in this town? No one knows how to bake bread in this town? Come on, why don't we have bread here? Right? So it could be, you could read the Gemara that he wasn't necessarily referring to a commercial baker. He was just saying in general that because of the fact that it's such a difficult thing to not have bread, so the gzeirah that the Chachamim made that you can't eat pas akum would be waived in a situation that you had no other choice. In other words, if you had no other choice, what are you going to do? You can't not eat bread, you're going to starve. So in such a, so that being the case, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was saying that, I don't see what the problem is. We don't have to, okay, good, you're supposed to eat Pas Yisrael. But there is no Pas Yisrael to be had here. And if that's the case, then you should be able to go to anyone and buy it. Okay? That would be a second way of reading the Gemara, which would in turn mean a greater kula, that one could eat the Pas of a Goy in a situation, even if it was baked by what's called the pas balabatim, even if it was baked by a private person, right, because of the fact that in case of need, there would be no prohibition. There's a third opinion in the halacha, which we have here, Tosus here refers to it, which is absolutely astonishing, right, there's a Tosus on the right side of the page, Mechlal de'ikka, the longest Tosus on the page, the fourth from the top, Mechlal de'ikka man de'shori, and this refers us back to the first line of the Gemara. The first line of the Gemara had said that, if you recall, Rabbi Yochanan said that nobody, there was no Bezdin that ever overturned the decree of Pas. So the Gemara went ahead and made an inference, the Gemara made a deal that by the fact that Rabbi Yochanan had to say that means that there were others who allowed it. And Tosha says, Midakamar Pasla Hutra Bebezin Michwal Dibai, from the fact that he said, from the fact that Rav Yochanan reported, that you should just know that they never repealed the Gzera of Pas, says Tosfos a remarkable inference, that what is he telling you? That if they wanted to, they could have. If they wanted to, they could have. Now what does it mean if they wanted to, they could have? Right, now we mentioned before that to overturn a decree that was made by the Chazal is very difficult because of the fact that it's possible, but it's only possible if you have a greater Bezdin than the original Bezdin that made the decree. And since the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai were the ones who made the decree of Pasakim, right, and the Gemara is obviously coming in later generations where they could not match up to those people, so therefore it sounds like it wouldn't have been possible. Yet Tosa says, it seems from this Gemara, that if they really wanted to, they could have nullified it. And why is that? And Tosa goes further and says, Alma Ropashad Isuro. Says Tosa, this is a key point. Says Tosa, how could that have been possible? How could anybody have overturned the decree made by such Gedolim? The explanation is, says Tosfos, that what the Gemara is really telling you is that even when the decree was made initially, the initial decree against Pas Akum, it was lo pashat isuro. Lo pashat isuro means that it was not widespread. It did not spread to all parts of Klal Yisrael. And that is because we find that one of the remarkable things in Halacha is that even if a Beis Din of Gedolim would make a decree, but it's possible for that decree doesn't automatically have halakhic validity. Because the Gemara tells us, this is actually Gemara in the next page of this parak, that the Gemara says the famous rule that ein gozrin gzera al hatzibur, that one cannot make a decree on the community, on the public, elim kein rov hatzibur yechom lamod bo, unless most of the people can hold by it. If the rabbis get together and make a decree, you can't do a certain thing, but it's too difficult. It's too difficult. People can't manage. It's unbearable. This decree makes it unbearable for us. So then that decree is not necessarily binding. So says Tosis, that we find, Tosis brings to our attention the idea that it was lo pasha isura, that even in the initial stage, when they made this decree, it was not necessarily accepted by everybody. It didn't spread. In certain places it held. They made the decree in certain towns and certain communities. They held by it. But in other places, they didn't hold by it. And Tosa says, Umikan Samchu Ata. Tosa's reporting about the situation of the Jewish community in France in the 12th and 13th centuries. Tosa says that this would be the basis now. Lecho Pashalote Kochotan. This is why you come to France, right, and you'll see that we eat non-Jewish bread without any questions. Why? Kivan shuopashad isura b'chol Yisrael. Because of the fact that the prohibition did not spread to all of Klal Yisrael. See, here we have a third opinion. So in other words, it comes out like this. Comes out that in the Rishonim, there's actually more than three opinions, but to keep life as simple as it's possible in this Gemara, we'll say like this. There is one opinion that says, the Tosfos opinion says that the decree of Pas Akum never really made the big time, meaning that it was accepted in certain places, but in other places it wasn't accepted. And if you live in a place where you say, hey, everybody eats the non-Jewish bread, that's because, Tosfos says, that you live in a place where it didn't make it. In other words, the decree didn't make it in your town. And if it didn't make it in your town, it would come out that there, basically you could do whatever you want. As long as the bread is kosher, you can eat whatever you want. That is one opinion. The second opinion, now that opinion is based on the first line of the Gemara. Okay? The second opinion in the Halacha, which is based on the later lines in the Gemara, and also based on the Yerushalmi, which is found on page 2, side 2, is that the Yerushalmi says that Malcolm Shane Pas Yisroel Mitsuya, that in a place where you cannot get Jewish bread, Bidinu Shatiya Pasgayim Asura, really you should have no choice. However, the Imam Olev, it's Yeruah, the rabbis got together and allowed it, Mipnei Chaye Nefesh. The rabbi said that this is too difficult to go by such a decree, therefore we will allow you to eat the non-Jewish bread. However, the Yerushalmi continues, Rabbanan de Kisrin, B'shem Rabbi Yaakov Aracha, Kidivre Mishahu Matur Ubovad Min HaPalter. The Yerushalmi says that it would be allowed, but the rabbis would allow it only if you got it from a commercial baker. Okay, so to summarize, I apologize for the technicalities here of all the different readings, but it's very, very difficult to get a handle on this, but it, basically the way it shakes down is like this. You have the Tosfos opinion, which is that there are places where just flat out the Gzeira didn't come. It didn't spread. It did not make it in this town. Other things that the rabbis decreed did make it, the Chov Yisrael issue did make it, the Bishalakam issue did make it, the Stam Yenam, not drinking the wine of the guy decree did make it, that was universal. However, the one on bread was a killer, because if you don't have bread, you're going to starve. So therefore, not everybody accepted it initially, and if you went by that, it would come out that you could do what you want. The second opinion, which is based on the further reading of the Gemara and this Yerushalmi, is that they allowed it. The original decree apparently did spread. However, when it came a situation of need, as Yerushalmi says, Chai Nefesh, it came at a point where people said, what am I going to do? I don't have any bread to eat. So in that situation, the rabbis allowed you to eat it, but only if, as Yerushalmi says, only if you got it from a commercial baker, not if you got it by a guy who baked it in his house. The third opinion would be that in a situation of need where there was no Jewish bakery, you could get it even from a, what's called the paschal abatim, even from a guy, a regular guy, even not a commercial baker, you could get it from him. But in a nutshell, the two main opinions are, is it that the decree did not spread, in which case you could do what you want, right, the first opinion, or is it that the decree did spread, but the rabbis just allowed it in a case of great need because it was sour for a person not to have bread, and in such a situation they allowed it, either if you got it from a baker, or even according to some, if you got it from a regular guy. I'm sorry, Mr. Levy, you had a question for me?
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that this is a kind of
yes.
Cannot be cast.
Yes.
Would you consider the kind of what, the size of the weddings?
Yeah, I said, well, I don't want to get into this. This is unfortunately also a political question. So I can't. It happens to be. It sounds like that is for the good of the community. So therefore, it probably should be. It's very difficult today for anybody to have the authority to say it's absolutely prohibited. You know, it's a different discussion. I mean, today we don't have kihil. Today we have a big challenge. Everybody lives together. You have Ashkenazim and Sfardim and Misnagdim and Chassidim. Everybody lives together. So there is no central authority. The Gemara, there was central authority. So therefore, it was a different story. But anyway, okay. So getting back to the past. So this is the way it shakes down. So the way it shakes down is, if you are by Tosfos that the prohibition did not spread, then it would come out that you could do what you want. You live in a place where people eat it. And it would come out, the difference in halacha would be that even, according to the Tosfos opinion, even if you lived in a place where they had a kosher bakery, you could still eat the non-Jewish bread. Why? Because Tosfos is saying the basis of Tosfos' heter is the fact that we're pasha disuro, that the prohibition never spread. It didn't catch in all places. In some towns it caught on, in other places it didn't. If in your place they eat it, they eat it. So that means it didn't catch on. If it didn't catch on, then there's no prohibition at all. Whereas if you follow the other opinions, then the prohibition did catch on. Then they had to come on to a heter. Then, as Yerushalmi says, Mipnei Chayei Nefesh, because of tsar, because of the fact that people would be stuck without bread to eat, they had to be moderate. So if they're going to be moderate, so then they're only going to be moderate in a situation where you need a heter. So if you live in a place where there's a kosher bakery, there is no heter. Whereas if you live in a place that isn't, that doesn't have such a thing, then you could go ahead and eat from the non-Jewish bakery. That would be the difference in a nutshell between the two ways of looking at it. Tosfos way, everything would be mutter. The other way, it would only be mutter, chayei nefesh, in other words, the issue did spread to all communities, just that, with chayei nefesh, in a case of need, the rabbis allowed you to do this. Now, yes, I'm sorry.
Isn't this interpretation, the one where it didn't catch on generally, is very dangerous when it comes to authority? Because if you have a halakha that's passed.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the general majority just says we're not going to follow this.
Okay. So it apparently this is based on a diuk in the Gemara. In other words, I don't know if we have any decree today that could be as pervasive as the decree of in other words, the decree of not eating the bread of a goy, if you think about it, is devastating. I mean, not today, because today people, you know, nobody eats bread anywhere, everyone's on diets and health food and all, you know, we have much more food at our disposal, but until very recent times, if people didn't have bread, they went hungry. So to say that you can't eat the bread baked by a non-Jew, that's devastating takana. So there was room to say, people said, we just can't, what do you want? We can't live by this. It's impossible. Yeah, right. It's a neat issue, but I'm saying it's also in the Gemara. I don't know today, you know, again, today, I'm not, by the way, I didn't mean to give the wrong impression about the takanas that are made today. I'm not suggesting people shouldn't listen to them. I'm just saying that they're made by the Chachmei Ador. People should respect that. There's no question about it. Now, all I'm saying is it does not have the same authority as the Gzera that was made by the Tanam and the Gemara. Okay, so just to finish up here. So now, what does this have to do with us? So it has to do a great deal with us. Because if we lived in Wichita, Kansas, right? I don't know if there's a Jewish community there or not. Des Moines, Iowa, let's say, there is a Jewish community, right? So I don't know if they have a bakery there or not. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. So if they didn't, so then the halacha would be clear. The Shulchan Aruch says, it's on page 1, it's on page 2, side 1. The Shulchan Aruch says that Yesh Mekomos, the Mechaber says, Yesh Mekomos Shemekilim B'Dover, there are places where people are lenient. V'lochem pas minachtom ovit kochavim, v'mokom she'en sham nachtom Yisrael, mipnei shehi shas hachat. Right, that there are places where they buy, where they are lenient. Right, in other words, you see, he says Yesh Mekomos because there are. So this is reflecting the idea that in some the Gzera did apply, but in a place where they have no choice because of the fact that they don't have a Jewish bakery, so then they would allow themselves that Mekilim B'Dover, they would be lenient and they would allow themselves to bake, to buy the bread of a non-Jew because it's a Shasat Chak. Okay, and that is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, which means if we lived in Des Moines, Iowa, so then there would be no issue of, now again, you couldn't go in today to a non-Jewish bakery because the food probably wouldn't be kosher, but you could go to the supermarket and buy Arnold's packaged bread or some other company, I don't know the companies that have the hechsherim, right? You could buy such bread and there would be no problem, even though it's baked by a guy. Right, so you'll say that's all right because we live in a place where ain't bread, right? Where we have no other choice, right? We can't go without bread; we must have it. So even though it's baked by the goyim, but that's okay because that falls into the heter of what's called the pas palter that was baked commercially, and therefore that we could do. That's the Shulchan Aruch Pesach. Now the problem is that we here in Miami don't have the, I guess we have the luxury of having kosher bakeries, so we don't necessarily have the luxury of this heter. Because the question is, so now, if I want to go into the Publix and buy packaged cakes, or I want to buy Entenmann's cake, right, or I want to buy some other company's product, right, so now you say to yourself, well, this is pas, right, this has the status of bread, and it's baked by a non-Jew, and I live in a place where there's a kosher bakery. So if that's the case, now we have service. Now we have tzaras. If we followed that heter, it wouldn't be so simple. It wouldn't be so simple. In other words, if you go with that shot in the Gemara, right, then you would have a problem. So, in the parentheses here, the Ramah, in the Ramah script, right, we have the good news, right, the Ramah says, V'yei shomrim, there are those that say, da'afilu b'mokum shepas Yisrael motzei shari, that even in a place where there is pas Yisrael to be had, it would be mutter. There are those who say that even in Miami, where you have kosher bakeries, you could still go in and buy this. So again, you have to know it's kosher, but if you know the food is kosher, you could go into a supermarket, or theoretically into a non-Jewish establishment, if you know that their product is baked kosher, and buy it. Why would that be? So obviously that opinion is following the opinion of Pulsus. Right? That's the opinion of Pulsus, who says that it was well Pasha Nisuro, that the Xeru that the rabbis made didn't catch on in all places. So in Miami, it didn't catch on. Right? In other words, we live in places, since the minute in all the places that we know of it, that people eat the stuff, right? So we live in places where it didn't catch on, and therefore, that would be the basis for the Hetzer. Now, the problem is, before we celebrate this great news, right, that we have the Hetzer, the problem is that everything here, the Ramah himself just says it as a Yesh Omrim. So now the Ramah, when he writes like this, usually means that this is his opinion. However, if you look at the bottom of the page, to the Shach, letter number Tes, the Shach says on the very last line, he says, second to last line, Miu nira di esh li zora, kol yamos hashona, shlorika pasu ovitakovim in apalter, hecha di esh pas Yisroel, palter Yisroel. That the Shach, unfortunately, a later authority than the Ramah, the Shach says, no such luck. The Shach says, in my opinion, I don't buy it. In my opinion, literally, I don't buy it. Right? The Shach says that you cannot do this if you live in a place where there's a Jewish bakery, you cannot do it. But he leaves us with one out. He says, unless the bread of a goy is better. If the bread of a goy is better, says the Shach, then we would allow it even in a place where you have a Jewish bakery. So this is a new one. Okay, in other words, now we have a new hetzer that you could eat the bread of a non-Jew even in a place where there's Jewish bread, because the bread, if the bread of the goy is better. You'll say, where in the world did they put, it's like pulling a rabbit out of a hat, where did he get that from? Where did it say that in the Gemara? Right? They didn't say that anywhere. So apparently the explanation is, right, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you look back on the top of the page, in Sif Hay, the Shulchan Aruch brings this heter, Yesh Omrim Shemish Yesh Be'ad Opasol, I'm just reading it quickly, he says, though Sheyesh Palti Yisrael, Yesh Palti Ovet Kochavim, Ose Pat Yofim Imenu, if the non-Jewish baker makes better bread, or Mimin Acher Shem, Be'osho Palti Yisrael, or maybe he makes bread that the Jewish baker doesn't bake. He breaks holy bread. He breaks all the grains, you know, 7-grain bread. Everybody pays interested in that, right? The Jewish bakery is still stuck in the old, they're baking the regular rye bread, the regular pumpernickel bread, like in the good old days, right? Says the Shulchan Aruch that there are those who allow it. The Mokum Shinaru Hetzer Paschal Palter. Why? Listen to this. The Kivan the Daito Nocha Yosef the Pas Palter Zeh. Because since you like this bread better, Mipnei Chashivuso, because of its status, because of its qualities, Hare Zeh Kepas Tchukalo, this is like a situation where you can't get bread. Unbelievable. In other words, Rebbe's yeshiva, right? He walks into the dining room. What's going on here? How come there's no bread? It ain't pan palter? What's going on? We have to eat bread. Says the Shulchan Aruch, right, that if you live in a place where they have a kosher bakery, but the non-kosher bakery bakes better stuff, then that would be also what Rebbe meant, that if it's past Dorkot Talmidim, if we're stuck, we can't get anything, we could eat it. Okay, so this is the Hetzer. Now, in a nutshell, okay, I'm not coming out with a psak halacha, every person could decide for themselves. But this is the way it shakes down. If you buy a product and it says on the label Pas Yisroel, and you're wondering what in the world, right, what is that supposed to mean? So that is because of these situations. That is because if you live here, see, if you lived in Des Moines, Iowa, it wouldn't be an issue. Unless you want to be machmir, that's already tzidkis to do that, because that's already, you have all the opinions would say that's alright. But if you live in Miami, right, and you say, we have kosher bakeries here, right? So where do I come to go into Publix to buy Entenmann's baked goods? Right? Where do I come to go into other places and buy their baked products? Right? So you say, well, what is that? Huh? Entenmann's is under Ashkocha. I understand it's under Ashkocha. But again, under Ashkocha just means the ingredients are kosher. The whole issue of pots is nothing to do with that. We now have kosher, right? The question is, how you're allowed to eat it. How are you allowed to eat it? So the basis for the heter, I'm not taking opinions here, the basis for the heter that everybody relies on is as follows, just to put into perspective, right? The heter is, number one, we go by the sheet of Tosfos that says we go with the opinion, the more stringent opinion, that the heter of eating non-Jewish bread, according to the Ramah, would not be a question, because the Ramah rules outright that like Tosfos, that the prohibition didn't spread, and therefore you could do what you want, right? Because the prohibition didn't spread. If you live in a place where they eat it, and that's it, finished. So we live in a place where they eat it, you don't have to ask any questions. The Shach, on the other hand, right, who usually is also at the cornerstone of the halacha, the Shach says, I don't agree with that. Right, in my opinion, you can't rely on such a lenient opinion. If there is a kosher bakery, what's the heter? I don't see any heter. The only heter would be, because he goes with the other Gemara that says that Rebbe only allowed it when it was past Dochel Kletamidim, when people had no bread to eat. But if you have bread to eat, what's the heter? The only thing is, says the Shach, that I would allow it in a situation like the Shulchan Aruch says, if the quality is better. So if the quality is better, then that's considered past chukalo, because you say, ah, come on, I'd much rather, that bread is so much more gishmak, I'd much rather have that. That cake is so much better, I'd much rather have that. All I will tell you is that the heter that we all rely upon, myself included, is that we say that, all right, listen, you know, it's better. Right? Now, who says, just for the record, that Arnold's packaged bread that's loaded with preservatives that will stay fresh for 3 months, right, that, you know, is better than the bread baked in any of the local bakeries? So it's not so simple, you know, but we generally just assume that. Okay, so if you go with the Ramah's Psak, you have nothing to worry about. If you go with the Shach, you have to really think about it, right? And if there are products, Entenmann's make certain cakes that you just can't get, okay, then you have what the Shulchan Aruch says, no problem, right? Other companies make, you know, Stella Doro makes those wonderful, what they call the strimal cookies, right? The fudge cookies that look like a strimal from an overhead view, right? So those cookies, no Jewish baker makes that, so that, no problem, right? But in other situations, you know, it could be a little bit of an issue, right? It's not, you know, the common minhag is we're all lenient. I am not disputing that. I'm just saying that if you see people who say nowadays you see more of it, that they advertise that our products are pas Yisrael, and you say, what kind of frumkeit is this? What kind of bizarre chumrah that we never heard of before? In our places where we live, in our towns, in our communities, it's not such a big stretch because of the fact that in a lot of cases, it enters into the question. So again, I'm not trying to suggest that this is what must be done, because to the contrary, the minig of Ruba the Ruba, most people are knowing Lakula in this, but those who want to be strict in it, the basis would be, as we said. Yes? Alright, so I will officially end the shiur. I'm not even more over the time than I was. Go ahead, quickly.
First off, clarify, only refers to baked products.
Yes.
And baked products out of grain.
Yes.
If it's baked out of corn, like corn.
Yeah, that's different. That's something else. Right. Yeah.
When a lot of people will go and buy dough.
Yeah.
You know, it still needs to be baked at home.
Right. So that's a question. The Shulchan Aruch discussed that. I'll tell you the truth. I'm not sure myself. That's discussed. That's one of the sifim in the Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
In other words, we would say it's pas Yisrael. We rely a different discussion. It's pas Yisrael if you finish it off. If you get raw dough and you finish it off, it's pas Yisrael. The pie filling, all that stuff. Yes. Okay.
What happens with matzah?
It would be the same thing.
The same thing.
Well, the matzah, I'm saying, I think, is all the companies are Jewish. But if a guy, well, that's a discussion, actually. The matzah baked by a guy is a discussion. The Gemara Masechta is a different topic. Okay. That's